Good afternoon. I'm Hannah Levine. This is The Homestretch, only on 91.3 FM, KXCI, Tucson, online everywhere at kxci.org. My next guest is John Doe, founder and leader of the legendary punk band X, who have just released Alphabet Land, the band's first collection of new songs in 35 years, recorded with their original lineup. X formed in Los Angeles in the late 1970s and made their initial and eventually iconic impact with the release of their debut album in 1980. X's first two studio albums, Los Angeles and Wild Gift, are ranked by Rolling Stone among the top 500 greatest albums of all time. Over the years, John Doe, Xene Cervenka, Billy Zoom, and DJ Bonebreak released several critically acclaimed albums. The band continues to tour with their original lineup, although the dates scheduled in support of Alphabet Land are postponed at the moment in the wake of the COVID-19 crisis. John also has ties to Tucson through his creative friendship with Hal Gelb, with whom he worked with on John's 2016 solo album, The Westerner. Welcome to the show, John. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking, and that was a mouthful. I give you a lot of credit for, and then they did this, and then they did that, and this and that, and this and that.
Well, you have an impressive CV, so I thought it was important to set the right context there. And first off, congratulations on the new album. I am wildly impressed. I don't think it's easy to come out with a new album with the original lineup several decades later and have it sound both familiar and incredibly fresh. So I think you've made an incredible achievement with the release of this album. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I'll share the credit with all the band and our producer, Rob Schnaff. And it wasn't that easy figuring out how to go about it, getting back in the studio. And it's hard physically, mentally, but it was easier once we had done the first session back at the beginning of 2019 and realized that, oh, we can do this and it does sound like us and it doesn't suck. So great.
Right.
And three of those songs were old. So we had that going for us. You know, after we had a place to put it, a place to be creative, it gave Xene and I some more inspiration and encouragement because we knew that the producer was good. We knew that the studios were good. We knew that the record company was going to be working with us and supporting us. And so.
Can you tell me a little bit about that briefly, why you chose to work with the producer, Rob Schnaff, and also with Fat Possum? How did you make those choices as a band?
Money. Money, money, money.
Fiscal pragmatic choices.
Part of it. I mean, that's how we chose Fat Possum because they were the most forward-looking, and they did offer us a good deal. And now that they encouraged us to put this record out, rather than waiting to find out when pressing plants and printers and things like that were going back to work. It's a very punk rock thing to do, to offer it on Bandcamp for $10. And I think maybe next week it's going to be on, you know, you can buy it through Fat Possum and you can buy it, like stream it and all that kind of other stuff. But they just said, let's go for this because it's the anniversary of the release of the Los Angeles record, etc. So we made the right decision. In going with an indie who seemed to be most interested in streaming, which doesn't make that much money for the songwriters, but it's the way that everyone's listening to music nowadays. That's another discussion. As far as going with Rob, it was someone that we all felt comfortable with. Billy's very particular about how things are recorded and what the production is like. And it's also, you got to get out of your own head. Like, what if it's not as good? And what if the chemistry isn't right? And we've all thought that. And I likened it to Joe Strummer and The Clash and then eventually doing the Mescaleros. It seemed to take him a few years before he said, it doesn't matter. I'm a musician. I'm supposed to be making music. We got over that hump and trust each other. Being on tour all the time doesn't hurt either. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, this is good. I remember being on the road with these guys, it's a good thing.
Right. It wasn't like you hadn't seen each other for 35 years. You've still been working together in a live context. So let's talk about the track Water and Wine. It seems to me that it sounds like, at least on the surface, that this is an examination of stratification of wealth in our society.
You are correct. Well done.
Who gets water? Who gets wine?
Who gets sent to the end of the line? Who gets pushed to the front of the line? Yeah, I think that's one of the more revolting elements of modern of modern existence. I don't know what it's, I imagine it's pretty much the same. Who gets a test, who doesn't? Exene gave me these words. I like the beginning of it as well, the lyrics, which says, the divine that defines us, the evil that divides us, which is talking about the same thing, not just access and money, but just maybe the human condition. And then musically, I went to see Shannon and the Clams. They opened for Modest Mouse and the Black Keys. And I'd seen them before a while ago in San Francisco. And they're a great band, and they have this surf rock kind of, except it's weirder. It was inspiring. The next day, I came up with this piece of music, and it seemed to fit Exene's lyrics. And it also kind of reminded me of that song that we did, Year One, which is basically Exene's version or our version of Year Zero that starts here, and then we go forward. And then Billy got to play some piano at the end and some saxophone. Bill Morgan, who made Unheard Music, did a video for us, and it was it's a dance song.
Excellent. I love that Shannon and the Clams had a role inspiring that. We love that band here on KXCI. I'm talking with John Doe of X. This is Water and Wine. I'm talking with John Doe of X about the new album, Alphabet Land, the first new album from their original lineup in 35 years, just released last week, and a pleasure to have John on the show. Let's talk a little bit about the title track.
Well, we never say the word Alphabet Land. We can thank Billy Zoom for that, because originally the song was called Mercury, and Exene wrote a little not an explanation, but just sort of a think piece on the song. And she talks about the Greek god Mercury. And is he a bringer of devastation or is he a bringer of life? And she sets him in this landscape of a frozen lake in this weird bridge that we do. And it says alphabet mine, alphabet wrecked. It starts off as alphabet wrecked and then becomes alphabet mine. So as we're rehearsing the song, it seemed to me that it was about reclaiming something. So there's something is wrecked, something has gone wrong, and then you take it back. So it has some sort of redemption. And then I read the piece that Exene wrote, but Billy kept referring to the song as Alphabet Land. And we kept saying, no, it's called this. And then we decided, okay, well, let's call it Alphabet Wrecked. Fine. Just it's that. And then he kept referring to it as Alphabet Land. And we got worn down.
It sounds like Billy is a man of strong opinions.
Yes, he is. But it was much more peaceful and you know, kind of jovial. We weren't truly worn down. The interesting, and the reason that we started off the record with that is because I think it's the most challenging track.
Challenging in terms of performance or for the listener? What do you mean by challenging?
Yeah, for the listener, musically. It's got all these weird parts. And then at the very end, we're actually playing two different parts of the song at the same time. The bass is playing, the verse changes, and the guitar is playing, the chorus changes, but twice as fast because that's the way that we had done it originally. And then it sort of goes into the bridge at the very end. It's this weird, I think, challenging musical coda at the end. Not that we decided it should be a high concept sort of thing, but it is kind of challenging.
Well, I think it's certainly a great mission statement, if you will, at the start of the album. As soon as I heard that, I knew that I was ready to go along with you on the ride.
In general, we were smart to do mostly up-tempo songs. And we didn't really think about that. We don't have high concepts. We're not like inventing a rock opera or something like that. But when we released this and realized that people could use a boost, people could use something that feels good and isn't just, you know, you still have to think about it. It's still challenging, but it just feels good. That's kind of what X does. And we were smart to just go for up-tempo and things that, yeah, we didn't know.
I'm talking with John Doe of X. This is Alphabet Land, the title track from X's new album.
We'll be right back.
I'm Hannah Levine. You're listening to The Homestretch. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with John Doe, founder and leader of the legendary punk band X, who have just released their first new record in 35 years with their original lineup of players, Alphabet Land. We are talking about various songs on the album. You had mentioned that you wanted to take a look at the track A Goodbye Year. Can you tell me a little bit about the origins of this and how it ended up coming together?
Goodbye Year, Goodbye was the last song that got brought into the session. I started working on it probably December of 2019. And it was just a comment on people constantly pushing forward. And I knew that I wanted one more song that was kind of a traditionally, or what X defines as punk rock. And, you know, you just get a strange feeling at the end of the year. You start looking back on what happened. And then as this pandemic starts, it started having a different meaning. And I'm very glad that it's like under 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I think it's 2:10 or 2:15. So a lot of different elements that inspired the lyrics. And it was so straightforward. We didn't really have to mess with the music too much. And that's always a good sign when you play it and it feels good and it's natural and intuitive what you should play. And you don't have to search for what part to play and how it develops and how you're going to make the arc of the song.
I think it's very true that on this album, nothing sounds forced. That's part of the reason that it feels so refreshing, at least to my ears, is it sounds like a bunch of people working together in a very natural and organic and comfortable way. The other thing that I think is interesting is that all of these songs we've discussed to one degree or another have a fair and perhaps unfortunate amount of relatability towards what is going on right now with COVID-19. You have had to postpone your tour. How does that feel to push something out in the world and then kind of have to stay in place?
I'm hopeful that, you know, August and September, we have a tour planned. It doesn't feel great, but it feels better than having finished mastering the record at the beginning of April and then waiting until September to release it, because that's the normal way that it happens.
So you moved up your release date. You pushed it out sooner than you were initially planning to, just so that you could get it out and share it.
Oh, yeah. At Fat Possum's request, you know, they initiated the idea that we do this. And we were immediately on board. I think it took about 5 minutes to make that decision. We don't know when pressing plants are going to be open. We don't know when printers are going to be back to full force. We don't know how we're going to get in the production schedule of all those places. So it may be October or November that we get these things. It's kind of like the general idea is to make a big trench and then, you know, place your bomb in it and let it run through the trench. And this time we just drop the bomb and then, okay, let's make trenches. You know, let's see who wants to talk to us. And it was successful. It was nice to see that Fiona Apple did something similar. She moved up her release the same way. There are times when I'm feeling pretty upside down because I honestly can't see how this is all going to, nobody can see how it's going to play out. And I can't feature what it's going to be like to get 500 or 2,000 people into a space. I just can't foresee that.
I was thinking about this last night when I was sort of sifting through questions in my mind to talk to you about, considering that you came from the early punk scene where a lot of it was definitively not about social distancing. I mean, a bunch of people crammed into a small club and moshing around into each other and pogoing around. That might not be something that we have in the future.
I don't know. It's TBD. I encourage people to listen to the doctors, not politicians, no matter what their opinion is. And I understand, you know, that economy is one thing, safety is another. And I'm very, very grateful and fortunate that I don't have to work an hourly wage and get back to work so I can pay my rent. But if it lasts for a year and a half, you know, I don't have that much saved up. I don't think anybody does. So it's pretty weird.
Well, I thank you for sharing your music with us and not putting it off any longer. It's a beautiful album, Alphabet Land, out now on Bandcamp, going to be out via vinyl, or if it's not out already, via Fat Possum.
Yeah, it's pre-order now, and I think they're talking about delivery in maybe September.
I'm Hal Levine. You've been listening to my conversation with John Doe from X. The new album is Alphabet Land. We're going to hear Goodbye Year Goodbye. Thanks again so much, John, for coming in. We hope to welcome you back to Tucson soon.
Yeah, everybody stay safe, and we'll see you down the road.